It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Today is National Coming Out Day. It's a day when members of the LGBT community around the country are encouraged to talk to their families and communities about their sexualities.
Here with us to talk about the history and the meaning of National Coming Out Day is LGBT rights activist Candace Gingrich. She's the Associate Director of Youth and Campus Engagement at the Human Rights Campaign. She's the sister of former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. She's also the author of Accidental Activist. Candace, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob and Veronica.
Well, can you tell me the story behind National Coming Out Day?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty cool story. In 1987, there was the March on Washington for gay and lesbian equality, and there was like 500,000 people came here for that march, and there was a lot of energy, so much that a couple months afterwards, 100 activists got together to kind of plot out, you know, what next steps should we take? And one of the concepts that came out of that was that we weren't going to gain equality from the closet, that visibility was really important in helping people know, you know, A, that they know gay people, but also in acquiring allies in the work that we're doing. So they decided on National Coming Out Day and to host it on October 11th every year as an homage to the march that took place on October 11th in 1987.
So is this more about people coming out today of the closet for the first time or about people who may already be out being out talking in their communities?
It's a little of both, Rob. I mean, coming out is a journey. You know, it's not just a one-time thing. I mean, we talk about coming out and you think of a person's coming out story, but every single day we have coming out stories to tell. It's a day for us to hopefully encourage and provide the support for those people who are coming out for the first time, but also to, you know, remind those that, you know, are as out as they think they can be, that there's still ways that we can help educate folks by being open.
As you say, the stories are all unique, and I imagine the challenges people face are unique given their life situation, their family, where they live. But what are some common things that people think about as they make this decision to come out today or any other day?
Well, you know, a couple things. You know, one is, you know, we recommend, finding someone to come out to that you feel already pretty good is going to be accepting. You know, that's important, you know, for you, but also as you go on to start telling other people, to have that ally, to have that person who kind of, you know, has your back. And, you know, the other thing to say, Robin, is to just acknowledge that coming out is still a risk for a lot of people. As powerful as it is, as important as it is, it still could be the cause for you to get fired from your job. It still could, you know, be the thing that has a judge give custody to your spouse because they're not gay. There are still risks involved. And I think that makes it even more important for those who are able to come out. And just finally, to remember that it's your journey. Don't let anybody tell you when or where or how that you need to come out. It's your decision.
So the message is not come out at all costs. Damn the torpedoes, take every risk.
Right.
So your own story, your book is The Accidental Activist, and you kind of came onto the national stage when Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House and you came out. What was that experience like, and did you expect the attention you would get then?
Well, the experience was, you know, a simple one of just a reporter asking me, you know, are you gay? And me not having any reason whatsoever to not tell her the truth. And of course, she was an Associated Press reporter, so word spread rather quickly. I think I was more surprised as I learned about the state of inequality for LGBT people. I felt like I lived kind of in a bubble prior to that because I was accepted by my family. I was out at work, didn't know anybody with HIV/AIDS or anybody who'd been the victim of a hate crime. And I really thought that was pretty typical for queer Americans. And, you know, it wasn't that until I came out and I started working with the Human Rights Campaign, and I started meeting people who had lost their jobs because they were gay, who, you know, had been attacked because of who they are. And, you know, that's one thing we know is that when you personalize it, when you can put a face on the issue, it changes things. And all those people I met certainly changed me.
Now, you've spoken directly to your brother, Newt, about LGBT issues in open letters. How should members, how should people who are coming out go about talking to members of their own family and community who maybe don't accept the decision, don't accept that they're coming out?
Well, you know, there definitely are you know, it's a possibility that you're going to, you know, meet someone who isn't as excited about it as you are. You know, one thing that I think that folks can do is to give the people time to kind of get used to the information. You know, I always think about my own coming out story. It took me 20 years to accept that I was a lesbian. When I came out to my mom, I just thought, all right, that's it. I'm still the same person. You should still love me, you know, exactly as you did before. But she needed some time, and it was frustrating. I didn't think she should need time because I was still her daughter. But then it occurred to me, it took me 20 years. It may take the people that I tell, you know, a little bit of time as well.
It's not a 60-minute TV drama where it all comes out well at the end of the day. It can take a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can't all be wrapped up in an after-school special.
Well, I was looking at the Human Rights Campaign website. A lot of the Coming Out Day issues are focused on workplace, who to come out to at the workplace, what to check to see if you might get fired. What should people be reviewing at the job before they make announcements?
Well, you can check out the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, which is measures how companies and businesses are on LGBT issues, if they have non-discrimination policies, that kind of thing. So you can actually, you know, search to see if a potential employer or if your current employer does have their own protections. You know, I think similar to, you know, in general coming out, find some person at work that that you come out to first, that, you know, can be kind of your support system as you continue to go on. And, you know, and also, Rob, we talk about coming out in other spaces, too. I mean, you know, in the healthcare profession, you know, LGBT patients need to be out to their doctors so that they can get the right care that they deserve. You know, we need for same-sex couples to be out as potential adoptive parents because, you know, there are 500,000 kids in foster care. So, you know, in so many spaces, we have the opportunity to come out.
We're talking to Candace Gingrich. She's an LGBT rights activist. She works with the Human Rights Campaign. And in a little bit, we'll be joined by a Wisconsin radio host who came out on the air last year on Coming Out Day. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm here with Jean Purcell. And we're here to ask you to support the programs you enjoy. And we do it, you do it, because your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And when you pledge today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad. And now's a great time to support the programs you value with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And before we get too much further, we've got some thank yous to give out. Last hour, we heard from 45 of you, and that's important because we had a goal of 35. So what a great response. And thanks to everybody for all of those pledges. This hour, we've got a goal of 45 pledges, and I know we can do it because we just did it. These hourly goals are very, very important. They help us stay on track financially throughout the hours and throughout the year, and it all adds up to a whole that helps us keep the discussion going strong here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and listeners bring a unique perspective to that conversation as well. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting conversations with sentences like, "Yesterday on Wisconsin Public Radio." Well, it's time to take action, to participate in making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do our best during the WPR pledge drives to make giving just as easy as we can possibly make it. We need just a few things. We'll need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to pledge, and then how you'd like to pay.
You can save time and a little bit of money and use a credit card if you can, or better yet, why not start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account? You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin Public Radio has changed a lot over the years. These days, in addition to Wisconsin Public Radio, you also expect to find online streaming. We know a lot of you love our podcasts. You like a website that you can use as well. Wisconsin Public Radio does our best to meet your expectations.
But these things that Gene just listed, they're not free. They require investments in technology and engineering. But your donation right now keeps WPR relevant in a changing world. So make your pledge of support, something to feel good about this Friday, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would ask you, if you're a listener, you know, why do you listen? And if you're listening now, then you want to be listening in the future. And if you've listened in the past and the future rolls around and it's not there, you won't have anything to listen to.
And I guess I would tell you that it's NPR and WPR, National Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio. And you are its public. And the funding for WPR and NPR comes from you.
I'm Larry.
I'm Ellie.
And we're from Madison, Wisconsin.
And please join us as sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I listen to public radio and I'm a sustaining member. That's kind of cool.
Well, you can be kind of cool and make your pledge. Join Larry and Ellie. Make your pledge. Become a sustainer. Become a new member. Just become a member. Support Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Gene Purcell. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio this fall membership drive. Maybe you decide $10 fits your budget, maybe $20. Well, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given a pledge before, if you've never supported Wisconsin Public Radio before, let me tell you what to expect. First of all, it's a short process. It takes just a few minutes of your time. You'll answer some very basic questions. We'll need your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and then how you'd like to pay for it.
And that is it.
That's it?
Is that simple?
Are you kidding?
I'm not
That's
kidding
it?
You. Would
That's
I joke
all.
With you, Gene Purcell?
You might.
No, I would not.
But that
well,
is
yes,
it.
I would. But that is it. So make that first donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. We think you'll feel good about it. We're pretty sure about that. Many first-time donors give $5 a month, but the amount is totally up to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I know this sounds a little melodramatic, but seize the day. Go make that pledge right now while you're thinking about it, because it just takes a few minutes to contribute to WPR. You can make your pledge online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 39 more pledges in about the next 40 minutes, so give now. Help us get there at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And as an added bonus, for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad.
And if we've been talking about sustaining members throughout the day, if you've not become a sustaining member yet, now is the time to do that. You can set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account, from your credit card, and you can do it all at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have a new WPR travel mug as well. You want to get one for your pledge of $15 a month or more. It's handy, nice way to go. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We'll pick up our conversation now with Candace Gingrich. Today is National Coming Out Day. She is with the Human Rights Campaign, and we're talking about this effort to get people in the LGBT community to talk about being gay in America and spread the message that people are out there. Candace, what are you hoping to collect more and more stories at the Human Rights Campaign, people's coming out stories and what they've done since?
We've been doing that and have been for a while. I mean, coming out stories are so powerful, and they're also very informative, you know, for us to kind of figure out if there are resources that we could be providing and should be providing. We've got a series of resource guides to coming out that each year we distribute, you know, more than 10,000 of them, you know, across the country. So, you know, folks, you know, should know that we, you know, there is that support there from the Human Rights Campaign. And Rob, I also have to just not correct you, but I guess add an addendum to your opening for this piece. It's also about allies coming out. Coming Out Day is not just for the gays, but our straight allies also have, you know, a coming out to do too. So it's really a multi kind of multi-pronged approach to educating folks.
Yeah, and what can straight people do to take part in this National Coming Out Day?
Well, I think visibility of straight allies is as important as, you know, visibility of LGBT people. You know, as a way to show, you know, to others, you know, to LGBT people that they are supportive, but also to other allies to know that it's okay to speak up and speak out. You know, if you have a friend who you think, you know, might be gay and is struggling with it, you know, maybe you can have a conversation with them and in some ways show them that you would be supportive if they came out to you. You know, it's also speaking out when there are teachable moments. You know, just, you know, people who still use "that's so gay" or say "faggot" or maybe repeat, you know, something that an ally knows is not true, to correct folks, because it really is. It comes down to education. The biggest enemy we have is ignorance, and the way that we can get rid of it is just being out and open and having those conversations.
Well, how do you think the climate, the discussion has changed since that first march and since Coming Out Day became an annual tradition?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the volume of people who have come out since 1988. That has changed our country. One thing, you know, that we know is that younger people are more supportive of LGBT equality. You know, we actually call them generation equality because of that support, and also, you know, my knowledge that in their lifetime they're going to see full equality. And one of the reasons that they are so supportive is that their whole lives they've known LGBT people, or at least known that they exist. You know, we call that generation like digital natives because they've always had, you know, their technology, and I think they're also kind of queer natives too. You know, it brings to mind when I came out to my mom, and she was 60 at the time, and said, you know, you're going to have to give your dad and I some time to get used to this, because when we were growing up, we didn't have gay people. You know, and I tried to explain to her it was, you know, not like color televisions and microwaves, but there were gay people when she was growing up. She just didn't know. And today, more people know someone who is LGBT, and that changes people.
All right. Candace, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Candace Gingrich. She's with the Human Rights Campaign talking about National Coming Out Day.
Last year, Wisconsin radio host Aaron Rodgers of Z104 in Madison came out on the air for National Coming Out Day, and he's with us now to talk about that experience. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm very glad you brought me on this afternoon.
Well, tell us what happened a year ago on National Coming Out Day for you.
You know, I wasn't even really familiar with the day, to be honest with you. I knew it was sometime in October, and it was last year. I had decided to, you know, I'd been on the station for 2 years, and, you know, a lot of people in the community have seen me out, and I do a lot of things with different organizations already in the LGBT community. So I thought, why not really open up to the listeners and live authentically with them, much as, you know, other people would do? And I decided that this would be the perfect opportunity to take everything that I've encompassed in my life and share it with the people who listen to my show every afternoon, follow me, you know, via social media, or live the same life that I do here in Madison.
Well, what was it like in that moment when you decided to tell your story? Were you nervous?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, as radio people, we know that we get so used to cracking the mic and it becomes a, you know, routine part of our day. But when you have something so big to share, and you put yourself out there and you make yourself vulnerable with a bunch of people who you really don't know who's listening, and you expose yourself in that way, my nerves were like, I was shaking, I was finding myself totally out of character, which normally I wouldn't have ever, you know, I wouldn't have ever been that nervous, but it was a huge moment. And I had the support of my program director, Katie, in the studio as well, so it made things a lot easier.
Do you remember a little bit about what you said? Anything that sticks in your mind that felt, I don't know, maybe good to say on the air?
You know, I was just watching the video, actually, from a year ago today, and I kind of really just emphasized the fact that, you know, I wanted to allow people to view me as a mentor, as an ally, for somebody to reach out to me, and you know, maybe they don't have the support that they have in their lives that I've been blessed with, and allow people to, you know, reach out to me and to make me a comfortable part of their life and provide support and, you know, almost like a resource. I've been out I've been out to my parents for about 8 years now already, and sometimes I know with the people that I work with in the community and the people who listen, they might not have that support. So my biggest message was to pretty much give an invitation for people to reach out to me if they need support or if they need just somebody to talk to.
And how did people respond once it was out there?
It was really quite incredible. I mean, the social media support, which we live in, you know, this digital age, it's incredible how the story was shared and the video showed up on, you know, national blogs. And all that stuff was something I had never really been a part of before. And I think the really neat part was, is I was getting text messages and emails from friends who I hadn't talked to in years, people from different businesses and organizations around the country who had reached out to me with their questions and their insecurities. And I never would have imagined that kind of outreach from people here in Madison and in the state and all over the place.
We've got less than a minute to go, but could you give some advice for people who might be considering coming out? What would you tell them?
You know, I was listening just earlier, and, you know, I think the best thing that I've been told, too, is that you just have to find somebody who you trust and who you're comfortable with that you can express your feelings to and really be open with. And I think that connection and that friendship and that relationship is the most powerful bond to making you feel more comfortable about the way you feel about your life so that you can live authentically as a person.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Aaron Rodgers is a radio host at Z104 in Madison. He came out on the air to his listeners last year.
Coming up next is the news. Then we'll get our weekly state roundup. All the top stories going on in Wisconsin with our assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky. And remember, it's our fall pledge drive. You can head over to the computer, WPR.org, and make a pledge or call 888-202-2552.
This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. In just a few minutes, our news guy Noah Ovshinsky will talk to Veronica Rickert. They'll bring us up to date on the top stories in Wisconsin this week. First, I'm Rob Ferret, and I've got Gene Purcell here with me. He fills in for me, for Veronica. Does other stuff, too.
I do other stuff,
I guess.
Too.
But we're here to talk about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Here are the basics. Listeners, you provide the single largest piece of our budget. That's why your gift is so important. Little added thing here today. Pledge any amount. Any amount at all, and you get entered into a drawing for an iPad. So make your gift of any amount right now at WPR.org. That's WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And when you make your pledge of support for Wisconsin Public Radio, that means that you help pay for all of the programs, including Central Time, that you depend on. Right now, we're looking for 29 more pledges in about the next 23 minutes, so we're doing really well this hour as well. 29 more pledges. We need your call to make sure we hit that goal. Make your donation now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
You know, in the big picture of shows on WPR, Central Time, this show here, it's brand spanking new. I mean, we just celebrated our third month anniversary. We're excited to be a part of the spirit of trying new stuff at Wisconsin Public Radio.
And members play a big role in that, and our ability to move with the times, and WPR's ability to stay relevant in this digital world. Thanks to your support, new programs like Central Time have a chance to actually see the light of day, and you're hearing that right now. Your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is a vote for Central Time and a vote for innovation on WPR.
Remember, anyone who pledges today is going to be entered into that drawing for an iPad. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now, here's the legal stuff. You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can enter by sending a postcard, or you can enter by making a pledge right now. It's that simple at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, you might be thinking, Rob, Gene, my tax dollars, my federal and state tax money, it already supports WPR. Well, and you're right. They do, and thank you for that.
And we do thank you for that, but it's important to note that contributions from people just like you, from individual listeners, are what makes the quality and the variety of programs you're used to in WPR possible. Listener support is the most important piece, the single biggest piece of our budget pie, and it's you, the listener right now, who is making that difference. Because WPR matters to you, we're asking you to make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to. You can make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, you're part of a community of listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you've been doing it for a long time. Maybe you just discovered the Ideas Network, or you just discovered Central Time and decided, hey, this is something I like. Well, here's the next step. You can become a part of our community of members, people who loyally support the programs they value.
And it's your contribution of any amount that makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you've never given before, you might want to start off with a pledge of $5 a month. You make a pledge, a friend of yours makes a pledge, your neighbor makes a pledge. All of those pledges added up around the state are what make WPR happen. It's what makes us successful, and it starts with you right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I, as a college student, often find myself sitting next to cute boys in the library or in coffee shops, and I never know what to say. And so in my brain is that dialogue that's like, say something now before he leaves. And so it always comes out inevitably is, you know, this morning I heard on NPR, but I've actually never dated an avid NPR listener, and I think that's the reason why I'm still single. I'm Lauren Wall, and public radio is my source for icebreakers.
All right. Well, I bet we're your source for icebreakers, too, if you have broken the ice with something you heard on Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe here on Central Time. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's the first day of our fall membership drive. Rob Ferret here, Gene Purcell sitting next to me, asking for your support of WPR. Really, thank you so much for your gift. Maybe your first gift ever to Wisconsin Public Radio. $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you choose. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a really great icebreaker is I just made my pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy to do, and it's easy to support WPR. And the easiest way is to become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. A sustaining membership is one that is ongoing, and it comes from either your bank account or a credit or a debit card.
Well, now, Gene, you know I'm not always that quick on the uptake.
That is an understatement.
I'm a bit slow.
Yes,
it took me 2 or 3 or 5 years to get the sustainer thing and why it's such a good thing.
But now?
It's great. So here's two things. For you, it's great. You don't have to be like, oh, did I renew my pledge?
Is it in that pile
I forgot.
Of
I'm going to do it someday. No. It's boom. It keeps going. From our end, it's great because it's predictable. And the budget people, I finally got in their heads. They love this. They don't have to bite their fingernails and chatter. Are they going to pledge again? Are they going to renew? No. You've given them that reliability. And that helps us plan. It helps us do things out into the future. It's a big deal. Pledge now. Become a sustainer. Say, I'm going to give X number of dollars a month. If you know your algebra, you just plug in a number there. And you can do it. It's real easy at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And even if you don't know your algebra, just plug in $5 a month or $10 a month or whatever you can afford, and it all works out. We've got just 25 pledges to go in about the next 18 minutes or so, and we are doing very, very well. Thanks to everybody who's made a call, who's made a pledge of support, who's pledged online. You can join all of our friends and neighbors around the state in pledging at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552, and thank you.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And it's time now for a check-in on the week's news here in Wisconsin with our resident news guy. Noah Ovshinsky is here with us in the studio. He's Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant news director. And Noah, welcome back to the show.
It is good to be here. Good afternoon and happy Friday, you two.
Indeed, happy Friday. Well, so Paul Ryan has emerged, as you said, as a central figure in the ongoing budget impasse and the government shutdown. What's he been up to?
Paul Ryan who?
I
just,
have no idea.
Just
okay,
kidding.
Good.
All right. So as we all know, he ran on, you know, the ticket, Mitt Romney's ticket. Mitt Romney lost. I wouldn't say he disappeared, but he certainly, you know, made himself kept away from the media. Well, he's back, to say the least, and he has found himself in the center of this ongoing budget impasse and government shutdown.
And what is his plan? He's got kind of, you know, maybe a golden ticket for people.
Right. So the House GOP and the president have been going back and forth now, really for weeks, but the government shutdown now is measured in many days at this point. But they've been going back and forth over whether or not to open the government and under what conditions they would open the government. And Congressman Paul Ryan wrote an op-ed in The Wall Street Journal this week where he essentially laid out what he sees as a solution to this impasse. And what's actually quite significant about this particular solution is that it doesn't mention Obamacare, which is one of the things that, around two or three dozen GOP members in the House, they're looking to defund it and or delay the implementation. And that's one of the reasons why we have this partial government shutdown. Congressman Ryan's plan didn't even mention it.
All right. Well, what does it mention? It doesn't mention Obamacare, but what does he want to do?
Right. Well, this is a plan. This is a solution that I think many in the GOP, especially those who are moderate in the party, are increasingly latching onto. There are several reasons behind that. The one thing the president gets out of it is a short-term increase in the debt ceiling, which the president has been looking for now for the last several weeks. And in exchange for that, he will enter into serious negotiations with the GOP in the House over entitlement reform, tax code reform, deficit reduction. These are all things that Congressman Ryan and his colleagues in the House desperately want.
Now, looking into your crystal ball, is this going to be the thing that does it? Is this going to crack the code so that the government can move forward?
I think it's possible. I think it takes Obamacare out of the equation, which I think has angered some folks who are on the right side of the GOP. I think, of course, they want Obamacare to be part of this. But for those members of the House GOP who are looking for an out, like they're looking for an exit sign, a stairwell out of this mess, I think this is it because it achieves two things. It gets the president and the GOP back to the negotiating table. And it gets them talking about things that they really want to happen, which is entitlement reform, which is one of the things that are driving the large deficits that the country has.
Is it interesting to you that it seems like if you're a politician, you have to write an op-ed these days? I was thinking about how Putin wrote an op-ed and gave the Obama administration an exit sign with Syria. Now we've got Paul Ryan. He wrote an op-ed going, hey, guys, over here.
I think, you know, it's interesting. Paul Ryan is an interesting figure in the GOP because many people still think of him as sort of the intellectual center of the GOP in the House, but also somebody who commands respect from both sides. And he's seen by experts as somebody who can deliver the votes. Not only can he, negotiate, but he can also deliver the votes, which is important to getting this stuff passed. And so it'll be very interesting to see what happens here in the next few days.
Well, let's move on to the governor's race down the road. We have a candidate in the Democratic ticket already, Mary Burke.
And we're off.
As if we weren't off already.
Well, I know. But
we're off.
The campaign season has finally begun. And you're right. Mary Burke jumped, really threw her hat into the campaign, the governor's race this week. Now, it was long rumored. You know, we've been talking about, the press at least, has been talking about it for weeks. Will she jump in? Will she not jump in? Well, she has officially jumped in. She's a very attractive candidate, I think, to the Democratic Party. You know, she has business experience because she was part of her family's business, Trek. She was an executive there for a long time. And she has a fairly large bank account, which I think is attractive to any candidate, regardless of party. And so, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if another Democrat jumps in. It's a little bit too early to tell.
If you're Governor Walker and you're looking at Mary Burke, what do you see as her liabilities? Do you have any idea what he's going to focus on?
Well, if the online ads that I've seen since her announcement are any indication, and they went up almost instantly, actually, if you were to look on various websites.
Almost as though they were already produced.
Yeah. One would think that maybe there was some planning that went into this. You'd go online and you saw ads from the Republican Party right away. One thing that they're very much interested in doing is tying her to the Doyle administration. She was a commerce secretary under former Governor Doyle. And the Republicans here in Wisconsin are going to be very quick to point to Doyle and to point to Burke and say, you know what? She's a step backwards. Governor Walker is a step forward.
And he's said almost that already. So it's, you're right. It's begun.
It has. And make no mistake, the remainder of this campaign is going to be about jobs, 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 and the economy.
Okay. And just as a side note, before we move on from Mary Burke, she announced with a YouTube video.
Right. You know, in the past, there was a time when candidates would have a press conference and would take questions. That seems to be rarer and rarer these days. Now candidates are posting YouTube videos, very highly produced, really good production values. Watching Mary Burke's video, you know, it started with the sun rising over a barn. And it was, it was very like, you know, it's morning in America, you know, like the commercials that Ronald Reagan aired in the 80s. So very high production values. It's one of those things that they can use to raise money, something that they hope goes, viral. Of course, it doesn't give us reporters an opportunity to ask questions, but she did take questions later on that day at the school board meeting because she is a school board member in Madison.
All right. Well, we'll move on from there to a piece of legislation. The tenant-landlord bill passed a controversial vote this week. What's happening there?
Right. So the state assembly passed their version of this very controversial landlord-tenant bill. And generally speaking, it gives landlords more power to carry out evictions and allows them to hold tenants more responsible for damage. It's one of those things that for the college towns, in this state, whether it's Madison or La Crosse or Superior or whatever, this proposed legislation could affect those communities.
And so where is it right now?
So it has passed the assembly and it's very close to a version that passed the Senate, but not quite. So the Senate still has to sign off on the assembly's version. And if that's the case, I'm quite sure it will very quickly become law.
And critics not happy with certain aspects.
Yeah. It allows evictions to take place without the presence of law enforcement. Critics would, think that law enforcement being there is important. It gives landlords the ability to more quickly tow parked vehicles. Critics had said that may make it hard for people to actually find their vehicles if they in fact have been towed away. The Democratic view and really critics of this bill say, look, this is an erosion of tenant rights and really an attack on local control because there are some communities in the state who may have extra protections for tenants. And this bill sort of negates those protections.
All right. Well, we have a last stop of our state news tour right now. The Rotunda arrests, a final chapter there.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's a final chapter. It's a new chapter.
It's a new chapter. So very, very quickly, the Department of Administration has settled a lawsuit with a protester who claimed that his constitutional rights were violated by the permitting process for gatherings at the state capitol. Basically, the ACLU, which brought this the lawsuit, says this settlement allows the singers to simply tell the Department of Administration that that they plan to gather there and estimate how many people will attend. So they no longer will have to actually apply for a permit. All they have to do is let the DOA know that they're going to be there and how many people are going to be there. So presumably the arrests will even lessen, hopefully, or end.
All right. And the ACLU is happy so far. We'll see. Do you expect more action on this?
You know what? We'll see what happens. You know, as all things with the Capitol and protesting, as we've seen over the course of the next few years, who knows?
OK, we'll leave it on that note. Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was WPR's assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky.
Coming up, are parents too willing to bend the rules for their kids? Is it possible to be an ethical parent when we have a built-in bias in favor of our own children? We'll talk about the ethics of parenting.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm here with Gene Purcell, and we're here to ask you to support the programs that you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs possible on Wisconsin Public Radio. And when you pledge today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad. That's our way of sweetening that deal a little bit. And now is a great time to support the programs that you value with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got some work to do in about the next 5 minutes or so. 19 pledges to go before the top of the hour if we're going to make our goal this hour. So we need you to make that call right now. Make that pledge right now. Keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong by making your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So take just a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Think about it. You do this one thing today. You make a commitment to support Wisconsin Public Radio. And the next time you turn on the radio, you get to feel good and feel ownership about supporting the program that you're listening to. So make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know all about listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio here. And one of the things we know is that you are the most dependable source of income that we have for Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have listeners who can maybe afford to make a $1,200 contribution to support Wisconsin Public Radio. And think about that for a second. If you've been listening for a long time, if you're one of those who are fortunate enough to be able to afford a contribution like that, why not make that right now? You can pay it in monthly installments of $100.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a contribution of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, a gift really of any amount is welcome and appreciated at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Audie Cornish of NPR News. Listener support is essential to making the high-quality news, music, talk, and entertainment that you enjoy on WPR. Sustaining members make monthly contributions from a bank account or credit card. Being a sustainer is a great way to support the radio station you love.
You can make your donation and support the radio station that you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickert here with Gene Purcell, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe you can afford $100 a month, anything above, below, in between, we appreciate that. We really do. And we also count on that, your gift.
That's absolutely right. And a reminder that a gift of any amount is appreciated. We are still looking for 19 pledges in the next few minutes. I'm guessing that we've got some folks who are on the phone right now, so I expect to see that number drop. Still, we need to make that goal by the top of the hour, so let's get those phones going. And a big thank you, by the way, if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track. Help us make that goal by making your contribution right now. It's WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
You first join the Wisconsin Public Radio community as a listener. You tune in every day, and after a while, it's time to join the community as a donor. funding the great programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a group effort. Everybody pulls and we all get there together. And we're inviting you to join that group right now.
And when you make that first gift, you move from being someone who appreciates the programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio to someone who also makes them happen. And that is a really big switch. And we appreciate that. And I can tell you from personal experience that you'll appreciate it too. You will listen to Wisconsin Public Radio in a brand new way once you start supporting us. If you've never given before, you could start out with a donation of $5 a month. It's easy to set up and it's easy to pledge. WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Let's break it down for you a little bit more. A $10 a month contribution, for instance, to Wisconsin Public Radio is just over over 30 cents a day. You probably spend more than 30 cents a day on things you value less than Wisconsin Public Radio.
Like parking, for example. Although it's important, you know, I got to say, it doesn't feel very good. So spend a little bit right now, and you'll get a lot in return. Great Wisconsin Public Radio programming while you're looking for that parking spot. Make your donation to WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. Whether you go online or call, you'll be investing in a station that you use.
And we are looking for
16
more pledges in the next, let's say, minute.
We can do it.
So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And let's sweeten the deal a little for you as an added bonus. You can pledge any amount, anything at all that you choose, and you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad.
And while you're at it, think about becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you haven't taken that step, if you've been making a donation every year or so and you get the renewal notices in the mail and you forget about them, think about becoming a sustaining member, because I'm here to tell you it will make your life a lot easier. Set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit account. Do it online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And a sustaining membership is great. It's convenient for you. You already know that. But it also provides reliable funding for us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And sustainers are automatically entered into that drawing for an iPad.
Only 13 more pledges to go. Become one of them. Help us get there at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 202-2552.